We get into all the details for this week with Nathan at the National Weather Service. How you doing today, Nathan?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. It just looks like at a glance, looking at the forecast here, as I have your page up on my screen, that the buzzwords for this week are kind of cool and possibly rainy, although chances don't appear to be super high for the majority of the week, but there are, looks like, at least a 20% chance of some shower activity each day this week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is cool. We are looking temperatures in the 60s next couple days. We might make a return back to the 70s later this week, but even so, for late May, that's a little bit below normal for the time of year. And as you mentioned, kind of just a smidge of a rain chance here and there, maybe looking better chances as we get into the weekend, maybe closer to 50%, but it's tough to say just this time of year with how much rain we can expect to see. Most of it comes via thunderstorms, and as we know, thunderstorms can be night and day difference. 5 miles away could be getting 2 inches and could be getting nothing. So it's, it's tough to say with any confidence how much rain we're going to get, but the potential is there that we could get more this week. So,
Were you on duty last night, Nathan, when that storm was rolling in?
I was not, actually. I know they were, had a fairly active evening. I know we had some storm reports that we're going to investigate down across our southwest. But I missed all the excitement, if you want to put it that way.
How about the week prior on the Wednesday when there was widespread tornadic activity? Were you involved in that?
You know, I was in on that one. I did work that one. You know, we had quite a lot of reports with that land spout hybrid tornado there, just kind of in that Hershey-Sutherland area. And man, I tell you what, just with those land spouts, those are so visible for so many miles that we just had reports galore. We even had the NDOT camera. They turned one of the cameras at the highway interchange there, and we're snapping pictures of it too. So it was really an incredible event.
Do you get an adrenaline rush when we get severe weather?
That's why they move here.
It's one of those things where it's a very important time frame, so you got the mentality that you just need to focus on get everything accomplished that you need to get accomplished, so that way you can alert the public and all that. So I wouldn't call it an adrenaline rush, but I tell you what, you are laser focused on accomplishing the mission when you got weather going on, especially when you got tornado reports coming in.
Do you almost wish you could be a storm chaser in some of these events that happen?
You know, sometimes I do. I've done it a little bit myself. We're not going to advocate that people should be doing that, of course, but I have dabbled with it myself, and that is an adrenaline rush. I will say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, following along with that line of logic, how many times have you watched the movie Twister?
You want the real answer, or do you want an answer that I'm going to make up and make myself look better? More times than I can count. I'll just say that.
We're in the same boat.
42 and counting, right?
42 and counting. That seems really conservative, even.
It might be. Talk about, you mentioned a land spout, and some people may be wondering what the actual difference in a land spout compared to an actual tornado that drops down out of a funnel cloud.
Well,
yeah, absolutely. So it is kind of a misconception a lot of times that, we do record them as the same. We do record them as tornadoes, but they have completely different processes that they form. Land spouts, basically what happens is you have a boundary that's kind of sitting in the area like we had last Wednesday. And as a thunderstorm goes up, there's enough spin in the low levels beneath that storm that once that updraft gets rooted on that boundary, it pulls up that spinning air, and that allows for that storm to produce, a tornado, but it's a land spout. And what the official term is, the non-mesocyclonic tornado. And basically, that is by processes completely outside of the thunderstorm itself. Now, when we have a typical tornado, a normal tornado that everyone, would think of, like in the movie Twister, that is coming from the storm, where we have a rotating updraft in the storm, and through processes between the rotation of the storm and just the decreasing pressure beneath that storm, we're able to get that funnel that forms, and then that reaches the ground, and that allows for that actual tornado to form. So the big takeaway is the landspouts are typically formed by processes largely outside of the thunderstorm, whereas the tornado, the typical tornado, is from the thunderstorm.
And they typically don't produce much damage, is that correct?
That is correct. And in fact, just going back to last Wednesday, we did not receive any reports of infrastructure damage. Now, a lot of dust swirls and all that, and I can't speak for any cattle maybe in the area, but no building damage that we have heard of.
Interesting. Well, I think it's a good reminder, and every year we kind of get slapped in the face, because sometimes it seems like our transition from colder weather into warmer weather and the potential for severe weather happens rather quickly, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. As you mentioned, you know, we kind of have that overlap, because these dynamic storm systems that we see, like we saw yesterday, and technically is still even in the area today, if there's enough cold air on the backside of it, you know, it could be a difference from Gordon getting a blizzard and North Platte, Broken Bow getting severe weather. So eventually those low pressure tracks shift far enough north and there's enough warm air that we basically see an abrupt end to winter threat and then straight on into the severe season. And that's kind of what we saw today in this year. You know, we're not seeing the winter threat linger very far into April, and then now here we are in May, and yeah, it's all you know, gas pedals down to the floor now. We're 0 to 60 with the severe weather season upon us.
It's kind of unusual. I see a projected low tomorrow night of 38. That's kind of unusual this deep into May, isn't it, to dip into the 30s?
Absolutely, it is. And, you know, we are looking at, you know, these below normal temperatures, both highs and lows. And that is obviously going to introduce the threat for maybe some frost concerns. Now, we don't have any frost concerns at this time, and especially at 38, we're not going to see that happen. But further northwest, maybe towards the western sand hills, I'm even looking Wednesday morning. We're looking at maybe lows in the lower 30s across the western sand hills. So,
wow.
That's one of those things where we keep an eye on it, just knowing that there's, you know, ag is such a big part of our, you know, livelihoods in this neck of the woods. And so just as that friendly tap on the shoulder, we may have to consider doing some kind of frost headline with that, just given the temperatures and everything. And,
well,
you know, the general public, obviously, any gardeners might need to take heed as well. So
Wednesday night, you got 36 right now, is what because the skies are supposed to clear pretty good, so it could be even chillier Thursday morning then, huh?
Absolutely. It's looking pretty chilly this week for, like I said, late May. You know, I believe in the history of North Platte, I believe we have seen a frost late May, even early June. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that's fairly accurate for when the latest frost we've ever seen. So doesn't look like we're going to threaten that here with this week or anything, but, you know, it's something we'll have to keep in mind going forward here.
Looks like our risk of severe weather this week is marginal, you know, with temperatures topping out around 70. That makes it less likely we're going to get these complexes that we had yesterday, right?
Absolutely. So things are working in our favor that we should see the severe weather threat pretty well decreased through this week. I can't completely rule it out, obviously. You know, we'll have to be mindful of sometimes you get these little smaller storms that just decide they want to overachieve. So I can't completely rule it out. But just looking broadly at the pattern, not really the more favorable setups for severe weather. So I think for the most part we might be quiet. But then as we head towards the weekend, as I mentioned earlier, you know, returning back to the 70s, which is a little closer to normal, maybe we'll see reintroduce some severe weather potential, maybe looking, like I said, Friday, Saturday. But still a lot of details to resolve, and so it's not confident to say that we should see it, but it's something that we'll have to, like I said, take a look into.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know your primary focus is basically the next 3 days. I mean, you're constantly fine-tuning what you're seeing on your computer models, aren't you, and looking ahead. You like to take a look beyond that, too, and people, I mean, just being human beings, we like to know and plan you know, at least 2 weeks out and know. But the spring months in particular, it seems like from day to day, the future forecast can change pretty rapidly in that regard, right?
It can. Here on the High Plains, you know, it just changes by the day. And yes, we get these people that, you know, comment like, well, this changed quite a bit from a couple days ago. And it's like, we're just doing what we can to keep you guys apprised of what's going to happen and keep everyone aware of the situation. Fortunately, yesterday, with respect to the severe weather, we had good messaging out days in advance, and I know we received multiple compliments that said that people were able to adequately prepare because they knew about it for a couple days because we were messaging it. So sometimes things are easy to message because it's pretty plain and simple. The patterns are in a fairly predictable setup, but you know, sometimes you know, we get these surprise events that, you know, kind of pop up maybe 24 hours in notice in advance, and we, you know, we're doing the best we can, and we're just doing what we can to keep the public aware of the situation and help them plan with whatever they need to do to prepare.
Yeah. Well, Nathan, we appreciate you dropping in on the show this morning, and always love talking weather, and have a great week over there, because we've got a holiday next Monday. I guess we'll kind of shift you to Tuesday, so I'll let Sean know about that, and we'll do our shtick on Tuesday morning next week, okay?
That sounds great. Hey, thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. Take care.